Hello everybody, this is Chandradasa at the Buddha Centre online at thebuddhacentre.com. You can follow along with us at thebuddhacentre.com/Chiratna. And we're going to have a break for a couple of days, although we'll probably put up a few little morsels that are left over from the International Convention. And then we'll have a little extended team live blogging from the International Order Convention at Bodh Gaya, under the Bodhi tree where the Buddha's reputed to have gained enlightenment about 2,500 years ago. It's going to be a huge jamboree, order members from all over the world and all over India coming together. And we'll have lots of very interesting interviews and features and pictures and all the rest of it. But here I am. We're sitting at Nagpur at Nagaloka. We're waiting for the bus to the airport to head off to the next stage of this big adventure. And I'm with Suchimani and Dasani. You may remember from the very first podcast last week on the train in Mumbai. They were our rock stars, and they're back to close up the week with us. And we're sitting on an extremely hot day in Nagpur. It must be well into the 30s, and we're in the shade of the giant golden Buddha, the walking Buddha, who kind of dominates the landscape at Nagaloka. And we thought it'd be really sweet just to kind of get the old band back together for this last podcast of the week. My rock and roll metaphors are really stretched at this point. They're wearing thin. So without further ado, here are Suchimani and Dasani, just to give their reflections on the week, the difference between the start and the end of it.
I could begin. I think it's been an absolutely fantastic meeting. I think before I came, the idea of being in a meeting for days on end felt quite a challenge. But we had a fantastic facilitation team. Viveka and Maitrisara did a really, really good job. So every day we did something different, something to engage in, lots of large group discussions, small group discussions, fishbowl exercises, standing in lines, huddling in groups, all sorts of things that were incredibly creative and imaginative ways of engaging in the topics we were discussing. So it's been much, much, much better than I imagined. How about you, Dasani?
Well, I think one of the things that I'm struck by was the quality of communication and the quality of relating on the meeting. The facilitators, Maitrisara and Viveka, set us up quite slowly and gently with an emphasis on not rushing. And I think that that had the effect that there was just very strong presence of the speech precepts throughout the whole of the meeting, all of the 5 days. And that was a natural unfolding of us being more and more deeply in tune with the meaning of being there, which is to stop and listen to what is most important in our community. Viveka was asking the question on the first day, what matters? Very, very simple question. What matters? So as the days built up, as the days progressed, what built up was a sense of deep listening with a very sensitive, metaphor approach. And because of the not hurrying, creative responses and creative outcomes rose up, and we ended up with 4 main areas that we want to take forward, 4 main aims from this meeting that we want to work on in the next year and a half. And 4 is a good number, isn't it? It's solid. It's not too many. We haven't committed ourselves to changing the whole known universe, but to work steadily and with kindness in our areas of influence and to expand them as creatively as possible.
When I was, we were doing a podcast last night with some of the Spanish speaking order members, and they were trying to work out the best word for this assembly, because none of them liked the word meeting. And I was asking them what did they think was best, and I think they said something like Hermandan. It was like for fellowship, which I quite liked, and it also gets all the Lord of the Rings people on board. It's like the fellowship. But what would you do? What kind of word would you use to sum up this kind of gathering?
Fellowship is good. I think definitely something other than meeting.
Cosmic happening.
Cosmic happening. Wow.
rainbow people of the Buddha.
We've just had a very lovely lunch with quite a lot of curry spices in it, so we're a little bit giddy. My apologies for my friend here.
I've been up late at night posting things for too long. Mm-hmm.
I'll just say something else. Just to finish the meeting, we went round and talked about what our individual highlights were, and there was a moment where in an exercise quite a few of us spontaneously just felt the atmosphere between us deepen and coalesce into kind of realizing that there was the potential lies within the collective and not within the remit of each individual. So it was a community moment of going deeper, and a number of us mentioned that as our personal highlight. Something I'm not going to say the bodhicitta arose within us, or rose between us, but something happened where we realised that it's not about one's individual efforts per se. That was a little moment of magic. And then today, to mark the fact that the meeting has concluded, we went off to the Dikshabhumi site, which is the place where Dr. Ambedkar had his ritual conversion to Buddhism, and then he did this completely shocking thing, which was then he turned round, having taken the precepts from Uchandramani, he turned round and gave the precepts to his hundreds of thousands of followers, which is to radically break with convention. And it was a moment of absolute inspired genius that started the Dharma revolution in India and brought a live living Sangha back to this country. And so just to visit that site, actually it was in a way it was a very low-key visit in some ways, but we went there, we went into the stupa, which is Dr. Ambedkar's memorial, and we chanted the 10 Dharmacharini precepts and the refuges together. And that was just a really simple, understated way of coming together.
Great. Yeah. What were your impressions of the Dikshabhumi and seeing the place where Sangha actually gave his little speech right afterwards?
Yeah, I absolutely loved it. And yeah, I think I really appreciate what Darsini said. I think it also brought home to me more and more something that's been really strong for me on the meeting, which is us as a community gathering together to talk about how we're doing, how we're functioning, what we want to emphasise in the future. And we're in the midst of Nagaloka, which is training young men and women in the Dharma. And then they will go and take that out to different parts of India, to their home villages, to their hometowns. And I think going to visit the Dikshabhumi really sort of brought that alive as well, the value of the Dharma in India and how hungry people are for the Dharma.
We really saw that. We did a visit the other evening to the one of the local hostel projects run by Triratna in this area. And again, that just that sense of how immediately affected people's lives are by the Dharma. You know, girls who had come from unimaginably sorrowful backgrounds with kind of upright confidence and a glow and a real generosity about them. Yeah. Just greeting us and showing us around their school and their home. It's really fantastic. Darsini and I sang songs.
That's right.
We were invited to sing songs. And very inspiring, again, just very real. You know, it's not kind of abstract philosophy. It's like, you must change your life stuff. You know?
That's right. People whose lives have been unspeakable, and I can't imagine the suffering that is just, that they're daily witness to, and that the suffering that's heaped upon them on a daily basis. I can't imagine what their lives are like. I know that I will never see anything quite as ghastly as that. And these women were just upright and confident, but also with humility. It was very beautiful.
Yeah. And full of vitality. There was something about vitality and their potential.
Yeah.
You could just see that they could really be an asset to their community.
Yeah, and a real kind of outward-facing thing as well. Very interesting. You'd imagine it might be quite easy to just turn inwards and feel sorry for yourself in such awful conditions, but same here at Nagaloka, the young women have been making the flower mandalas for us every day. Just this incredible, intricate, presumably very patient generosity every day. When they've probably got better things to do. I mean, if I was 16, I don't know if I'd want to spend all my time laying petals on a floor for Westerners every day. But, you know, really beautiful gift, and everybody was really touched by it. And it's completely unlooked for, you know. Mm. And there's no sense of this is what you expect, but in some senses you should expect that level of generosity in India, because it's a common experience, at least in this part of it, in this aspect.
And I think it's really helped us as a meeting make sure that we don't get too inward looking.
Yeah,
making sure that we've also got that out to the world face as well.
Yeah, that's right. So the traditional flag of the Dharma is blowing in the breeze above Nagaloka. We've had people coming and paying homage to the Buddha around us as we record this podcast. And this little fellowship is going to make its way back and get ready to...
Over the misty mountains
to head off. Dasani's off. We'll end the podcast before she gets much further into that. What are your elf eyes see? What are your elf eyes see, Dasani? We're going to head back down to Calcutta and then the overnight train to Bodh Gaya and a whole new world of experience and of practice. And we'll report back on that in a couple of days' time. And I can't promise you won't hear from all of us again. But for now... goodbye.
Bye.
Ciao, Bella. Bye.